when you're painting a portrait, where do you start?
I like to tell my students I have about 5 or 7 different ways of starting a portrait. But in the Portrait Makogata project, I was meeting these people visually in this room for the first time, cold. Only thing I knew about each person was a name. I knew that they lived in Makokata, the decade in which they were born. Like if they were 20, I knew that they were between 10 and 20. I didn't have anybody tell me their exact age unless they wanted to. So everybody was aligned by between 10 and 20, between 50 and 60. So I knew what decade they might be in, and I knew if they were male or female. That is it. So every day, I had to have a way when they walked in to sort of figure out how I was going to paint them. And also, they had never posed before. So I needed a way to paint somebody who's never had that experience of posing. That means they really can't hold still like a professional model, and they didn't really expect to hold still like a professional model. And I didn't want them to feel like they needed to do that either, eventually, that they had to hold perfectly still. Because I think it's an experience which scared a lot of people from actually signing up to have their portrait painted, thinking that they would have to be really still for a super long time and wouldn't be able to do it. They thought, oh, I wiggle too much or da-da-da-da. So I had to have a painting approach that allowed a moving target who I didn't know and didn't expect to come in and start painting. And so I have this way where I start painting, believe it or not, the forehead. In just painting a person's forehead, I start to see the color of their skin in the forehead, and I let that be my kind of my entrance, and then I move from there. I start maybe with one eye, get the other eye. So it's like they're puzzle pieces. The first piece of the puzzle is the skin color of the forehead, and the second piece of the puzzle might be the eyebrows, and I just sort of put these pieces of puzzle on top of each other. After I did my first, like, 20 or 30, I started letting people watch the whole thing in a mirror because I quit being rusty in the alla prima approach. And when people saw their forehead come in, fine, fine, fine. And then they saw one eye. And as soon as people saw one of their eyes show up on the canvas and the rest of the canvas is this white surface, they started to see themselves somewhat appear. And I kind of began to capture their attention a little bit more. Like they started to see, hey, this painting is happening of me too. We're not just having this conversation. And so then I would move to the other eye. And by the time I got to their nose, people were really able to see themselves sort of emerging out of this white canvas. So that would be how I started. And when I teach it, I call it my fail-safe approach that you can use with a moving target. You get something you can trust. We call it an anchor when I teach. You anchor in something that you can say, okay, there's the shape of their forehead. There's that first eye. And every time they move and they get lost and they start telling me a story, I just look at that eye and I wait them to come back to somewhat of the position, and then I will put the next piece of information in. So there's their eyebrow. There's their nostril. And I just wait and I put it in. But I use this sort of anchor and allow them to move around.
It sounds really cool. I wish I could.
It is really cool. And we have this book of the project. We had realized we hadn't really photographed any of the process, or we didn't film very much. We didn't photograph it. And we're near the end of the year of the project. And it occurred to us, maybe we should photograph me painting a couple of people's portraits. And so Chuck came in, my husband came in, and he set up a camera behind me and photographed every 7 minutes. And so in our book that we have of the project, we have in the right-hand corner, it's almost like a flip book, you can see every 7 minutes what I did, like how much was done every 7 minutes. And the person, you can sort of see them emerge out of this white canvas. And I have a funny story about that. So the kids are watching me. They can see their painting happening in the mirror. And I would always leave a chunk of their face white, because if the kids saw their entire face just flesh colored, if I put pink skin or yellow skin all over where their face might be, they kind of thought they were done. So I would always leave white, like in a chunk of their face, so it was as if part of it was missing, while I got their ears in and I found out where their neck went and maybe where their shoulders were, so they wouldn't feel like they didn't have to sit anymore. And little kids would say, when are you going to get rid of the shaving cream. can you take the shaving cream off my pain? Because the little white spot on their face, they could see themselves, and they thought that it looked like they had shaving cream left. And it was just sort of a trick I did to keep kids sitting in the chair longer. I wound up developing all kinds of tricks to keep kids and adults sort of staying there and with me in the room without needing to leave. That was kind of fun. But in the book, you can kind of see them emerging off of the white canvas. And there's this one where you can sort of see there's still a piece of shaving cream right on his chin. And then finally the shaving cream's gone, and I'm getting his neck and his background in all the way. He was 11, though, so I didn't need to trick him too much. He was willing to sit pretty well. Yeah, it was fun how that happened. As an artist, you kind of need a lot of different approaches for different situations. And this is my moving target approach. You know, I use this when I paint people dancing in the... I painted people dancing at the Monmouth Schoolhouse in the dark, and I would start with one area and use that and finish it out. If the dancer was dancing around in a big circle, this was during country line dancing period, and they would dance at this big, huge circle along this whole gym, I would wait for them to come back, but I would look at all the waist, like where their waistline was, all the way around as they went this whole circle in perspective, and then when they came back in front of me, boom. That's when I put, okay, now there's the waist. My next question is, how long before I put a thigh? Like, how far down the thigh is? And watch them dance all the way around them. There's the thigh, you know, just to try to get into the rhythm and let the music that they were playing, that they were dancing to, and learning the rhythm of the dance, the rhythm of their movement, waiting. And all I just said was a question, okay, what happens with their face when they, boom, put that part of their face in? Where's their arm when they dance with this gesture? Put the arm in. It's like a sort of open, patient kind of looking and watching. And that's what I did with Portia Makokota. So knowing that they would probably be moving and talking to me and not holding still, I would have this one place. I knew that eye. Once I got that eye in, everything was sort of painted itself from there.